This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. All right, so as we continue this series, it's not even a mini series anymore, but this series about the lessons I learned and what we uncovered when we did a mystery shopping campaign of over 100 business to consumer financial services, debt relief, credit repair, insurance companies. We are going through the process of what I uncovered, what the lessons are from that, and what you can take away from this. By the way, and I forgot to mention this last time, if you want this information, if you want to see more about these detailed, the reports, the stats, things like that, make sure to email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Mention mystery shop in there. Let me know what it is that you're looking for. I'm happy to send you some details, some stats, whatever guidance I can. But obviously, the biggest thing is that you take this, take these items and really look at it for your organization, right? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you could be doing? How could you improve your sales experience? Because in this day and age, here's the big thing, is nothing else matters but the sales experience. All that matters is the sales experience. Now, a lot of people think technology matters and this matters and it doesn't, because that person you're dealing with has an expectation of what they want, how they want to be communicated with, how they want to be helped. They're afraid. They're in their comfort zone. They're worried about change. They're worried about danger. They're worried about all kinds of things that I talk about all the time and that I train companies on, and they're worried and you're helping them move forward. Now, in the first three parts, I talked about the process leading up to the phone call. The last episode was about rapport, which is the very first step in the authentic persuasion pathway. And in the process of any sales conversation, always starts with rapport. And no one would ever dispute that, because it's about starting off that relationship. And again, I quoted Bob Berg last time, know, like, and trust, right? Like that they've got to know you, they've got to like you, they got to move forward, or they've got to know, like, and trust your reps if you have any chance of getting them to move forward. So first part is rapport. Second part is empathy. Now, empathy is what I call the discovery phase. Now, some people call it discovery, probing, asking questions, whatever that is. I use empathy because for me, it's combined with asking questions, but then actually caring. I actually care, and I want to get you to a better situation. I want to help you improve your situation some way, whether it's with my product or solution or advice or telling you not to do anything because you shouldn't, whatever that looks like. I'm doing it with empathy because I care about you and I want to get you and leave you in a better place once we're done talking, no matter what the outcome is. So we talk about rapport. We're moving into the empathy step. That's where you're asking questions. So let's see, how did the people do asking questions? Well, what we found was that the majority were in the 3 to 4s as far as asking questions. They did okay, but didn't ask really deep questions, kind of some surface stuff, and then really move forward. One of the tendencies that I see in a lot of salespeople is they literally just ask a few and then they jump into it. They jump forward. They move forward to the solution. They move forward with what they think somebody should do because they've just seen it all. A lot of times, and I used this word last time in the previous episode, is salespeople get desensitized. They've seen it all. They've heard it all. They've dealt with it. They forget that that individual is a human and wants to be treated like an individual, like they're special, and like they're the center of the universe that they truly are. And so what happens is you forget that, if you've done it long enough, happens to everybody, and when you ask your questions, you don't ask deep enough. You're not trying to figure it out. Okay. So that's the first thing, is are you asking deep enough questions? Are you asking questions? In fact, there's one question you need to be able to answer yourself, and you need to ask questions until you figure that out. If you want to know what that question is, email me or message me if you're on any of the social media platforms and you find me on there, but email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com and put in one question during empathy phase. Just put something like that in the email and I'll tell you what your mission is. As you're asking questions, there's one mission you have, is to find out the answer to one question in your mind. And if you're a manager or a leader, it's the thing that is the difference between reps who do a good job asking questions or the ones who drive you crazy, that when they get off the phone with a deal they didn't close or a lead they didn't close, and you ask them, hey, did you ask this? Did you ask that? What about this? And they don't have the answers to those. You have those reps, they drive you crazy. They drive up all managers and leaders crazy, because you're like, why didn't you ask that? Why don't you think to ask that? It's because they're missing the most important instruction. They don't understand what their mission is. They're just checking boxes. They're just asking questions and checking boxes, and then they're not thinking about it and moving forward. So If you want that, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and then I'll give you the question that you need everyone to be able to answer on your team. Now, let's keep going. The next phase, the next part of the empathy question asking phase that we looked at, did they stay in control? Mostly threes, some fours, very few fives. What happened was, is as we asked questions, as we went through it, they got jumbled. They kind of bounced all around. What you want to do is you want to stay in control, especially when you're asking questions. This is the point where you as the professional should be in control and asking questions. We all know, or you might not know, but whoever is asking questions is in control of the conversation. It's always the way it goes. I'm not saying you always have to ask questions. I'm not saying you always have to be in control, but in this phase here, this is about you. Imagine a doctor's exam where literally they are asking you questions and doing tests and poking and prodding. You might try to ask a question and like, hold on, let me finish this part and then I'll get to your questions. They are in control. They are trying to figure out their process, figure out what's wrong with you, and then they can have a conversation afterwards. That is your one mission in this part, making sure you're in control so you can do your fact-finding mission, then you can answer questions later. Okay. So make sure you're doing that. So important. I'm not saying you have to be a bully and be in charge of the whole conversation, but when it gets to this mode, this is your time to be in control, ask questions, and run the process. Now, last part that we looked at and analyzed was how well did they do at getting to know my situation? Some fives, bunch of fours, more threes, and some twos. And really, this is indicative of the fact that the salespeople we encountered and the ones that I see a lot in many other clients that I work with, as well as just as a customer, they just don't really ask questions. They don't care. And again, the underlying theme, which I already covered in this episode, is desensitized. I see that either desensitized or bad training or a lack of training or a lack of management oversight. But it's in that category where the salesperson just doesn't care about me as an individual. Maybe they just think everyone wins, or I'm selling insurance, so I don't really care about your situation because I'm going to sell you insurance no matter what, or I don't really care about your situation because I'm going to help you with a refinance, or I'm going to help you with credit repair, or I'm going to help you with a warranty, or whatever it might be. But literally, you just see everyone as like, all right, let me get some basic. Do you qualify? If you qualify, I'm going to sell you the way I sell everyone else. That's might be okay if your product does the same thing for everybody. The downside with that is that me as an individual, as the potential customer, I care about me and I want to feel special. Everyone is the center of their own universe. Everyone wants to be treated like a special snowflake because we are all special. We all think we're special. We all think it's about us. That's part of being human. It's not a knock on anything. But again, I want to feel special. If I'm buying from you, I want you to make me feel like I am special and my situation is unique and you can help me in my own unique, special way, no matter what it is. If not, I see you as a commodity. If not, I see you as something I can easily replace with somebody else. So that's the big key, is to do that. Make sure you focus on that with the empathy step, with what you do, and build those processes. If you want help with this, if you need help with your team, make sure to email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and make sure to tune in, subscribe, like, wherever you're watching this, engage with it, leave a comment, whether it's in the podcast, you can leave a rating review, if it's on YouTube, if it's on social media, engage with it, share it, give it a thumbs up. Leave a comment. All this stuff goes everywhere, and get more of this out there. And then make sure to stay tuned because we're going to go through the remaining three parts of the authentic persuasion pathway throughout this series that we're doing.